Today's shiur is Masechta Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Tes. We will begin on Daf Chaf Ches Amud Beis, the last words. Amalei Rav Zaira L'Shamei. Rav Zaira told his Shamis, Ichavin Fitkali, have kavana to be mighty me and blow shofar on my behalf. Alma, obviously, Rav Zaira holds, Kosov Mashmiya by kavana. The Baal Tukeya has to have kavana to be mighty the people who are listening. So there's a very fundamental machlokes rishonim on how to learn this gemara. The previous gemara that we learned, Rava taught us mitzvahs ain't tzriches kavan. So some rishonim explain that Rav Zeira disagrees with Rava, and he holds that mitzvahs tzriches kavana, and therefore to be yotze for tkiya shayfa, the Baal Tekeya has to have kavan. Other rishonim say that Rav Zeira is not necessarily arguing with Rava. Rav Zeira could agree the mitzvah tzriches kavana. However, Rav Zeira is saying, when do I say mitzvah ain't tzriches kavana? Is when I'm blowing shofar on my own behalf. So if I blow the shofar and the proper sounds are produced, so we mekayim the mitzvah. Here, this is the way the stipler explains this gemara. Here, we're relying on shlichus, that someone else is blowing the shofar on my behalf. When we rely on shlichus, the shlichus has to have some sort of a connection. If he's just blowing shofar, making sounds, and not connected to me, so how could it be shlichus? And therefore, even Rav Zeira will tell us that even though normally I hold mitzvahs ain't shlichus kavana, here kavana is required. Meisvei asked the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, if somebody was walking behind the shul, someone's home is near the shul, the shama kol shofar kamagila, and he hears the kol shofar kamagila, im kiven liboy yotza, if he had kavana, he was yotza, v'lav lo yotza, but if not, he wasn't yotza. Now, ask the Gemara, v'chi kiven liboy my havi, I'm walking by the shul, and I'm having in mind that I want to be mekayim mitzvahs tekiya shofar. Heich lo yicham mechavin. A dot of the day. But according to Rav Zeira, it's not enough that just the listener should have kavana. It's also required that the Baal Tekeya should have kavana. So if I'm walking behind the shul, and yes, I have intention to be the yotz of the mitzvah, but what does that help me? The Baal Tekeya had no kavana, and Rav Zeira just taught us that the Baal Tekeya has to have kavana. Answers the Gemara, Hocha b'shlich tzibur askinen. The situation that's being discussed in the Mishnah is regarding a shlich tzibur. The date akula alma. When a shlich tzibur, about the kei of a shul, blows shofar, what does he have in mind, or what's he supposed to have in mind? That whoever is listening should be mekayim the mitzvah. So he doesn't differentiate the people in the shul, people behind the shul. He thinks whoever's listening and wants to be mekayim the mitzvah, I have him in mind. And that's why it's acceptable. Toshma. So the Gemara asks another question. It says in a braisa, if the person listening had kavana, but not the Baal Tekeya, or niskavin mashmiya v'loin niskavin mashmiya, or if the Baal Tekeya had kavana without the listener, they weren't mekayim tekiya shofar, actually niskavin shemeya mashmiya, until both the listener and the Baal Tekeya have kavana. Says the Gemara, ketani mashmiya dumya da shemeya. So this braisa is comparing the Baal Tekeya to the listener. What does kavana of the listener mean? Kavana means that he wants to be mekayim the mitzvah. Af mashmiya latzmai. Isn't when it says here that the Baal Tekeya has to have kavana, it means that he has to have kavana for himself. V'ktani lo yotza. So the way that Mefarshim on the side explained the Gemara is as follows. The braisa says if the Baal Tekeya doesn't have kavana, we're not yotza. What does that mean, the Baal Tekeya doesn't have kavana? That means he doesn't have kavana to be mitzi himself. Is mashma, that if he had kavana to be mitzi himself, even though he didn't have kavana to be mitzi me, it's good enough. I, Reb Zeira, said that that's not enough. It has to be that the Baal Tekeya should have kavana to be mitzi me. So we see that the braisa teaches us, as long as he has kavana to be yotz, it's enough. Reb Zeira said he has to have kavana to be mitzi me. Says the Gemara, Rav Zeira will agree that this braisa is inconsistent with his shita, but he's going to say there's a machlokes tanoim. The Tanya, Shemeya Shemeya la'atzmai, or Mashmiya Mashmiya la'fadarkai. that the Shema has to have a mind to listen, and the Baal Tekeya has to have a mind to be Yoytzim. To be Moitzi. Amar Rabbi Yossi, B'med V'ramurim, B'shlich Tzibur. A Shlich Tzibur, as we said earlier, always has a mind. Av B'yochid, L'yotz Achiskav and Shemei Mashmiya. So we see Rabbi Yossi saying clearly that the Mashmiya has to have Kavon to be Moitzi. That's what he's going to hold like. He has to have Kavona to be Moitzi, the person listening. Otherwise, like Rav Zeira said, otherwise it won't be enough. Just as we finish off the sugya, so we've learned the sugya mitzvahs tzrichs kavana ain't tzrichs kavana. The Shulchan Aruch brings down two shitas regarding mitzvah tzrichs kavana or not. Do we have to have kavana? One shita, he quotes both opinions, and the Paiskim say that certainly by a deraisa, when we be mekayim a mitzvah deraisa, we should have kavana to be yoytza the mitzvah tzrichs kavana. By the Rabbanan, by mitzvah rabbanon, this poskim seem to be more lenient, and even if you did a mitzvah without having the proper kavana, but you did the mitzvah, you could be it's good enough. Continues the Mishnah. And it's interesting, the Mishnah begins with something that's not really relevant to Hilchas Rosh Hashanah. The pasuk says when Klal Yisrael was at battle with Amalekim, it says, Vayikashayar Moshe v'gav Yisrael. When Moshe would lift his hands up, Klal Yisrael would prevail. So the question is, do the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu make them win or lose? Eloi Melech. Kozman Shal Yisrael M'stakon Kapamala. When Klal Yisrael had in mind HaKadosh Baruch Hu, M'shabnim Slim Levi'in Shushmaim, they observed themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaYimuskarben, they would prevail. M'mlav HaYinayflim. So the Mepharshim explain, what is the connection between this Mishnah and everything we're learning? So according to the Manda Omer that says, mitzvah tzrichas kavana, we're learning here the same thing, that when we daven, we have to have kavana, and then we could prevail. So the Mepharshim ask, that's fine if we hold mitzvah tzrichas kavana. But if we hold mitzvah ain't tzrichas kavana, as Rabbi just finished teaching us, so how do we connect this Mishnah to the previous Mishnah, to the previous sugya? So there's an interesting point. The Mepharshim asks, if the point of our Mishnah is to teach us that just like by mitzvahs you have to have kavana, so too by tefillah you have to have kavana, so the Mishnah should begin with two different words. The Mishnah should have been kiyotzabai, similarly, that you have to have kavana. The Mishnah doesn't begin with the words kiyotzabai. Why? If we're trying to compare. So perhaps one could suggest that what the Mishnah is teaching like this, regarding kiyam ha-mitzvahs, there we could have a shayla, mitzvah tzrichas kavana, mitzvah ain't tzrichas kavana. But here we're speaking about tefillah. When it comes to tefillah, there's no question. In order to have your tefillah being the skabel, you have to have kavana. Mishabdim libim lavim shabashamayim. Otherwise, your tefillah is not going to work. So Mepharshim asks, what's pshat Moshe Rabbeinu's hands being lifted up? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is when Klal Yisrael saw the Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were lifted in tefillah, that made them recognize that we're in God's hands, and therefore they recognized that and were mispalel and lived that kind of a life. Another pshat that I saw is Moshe Rabbeinu's hands, the Mir Emma says this pshat, were dependent on us. If we were in the right madrega, in the right level of amuna, the Moshe Rabbeinu's hands went up. And if we weren't in the right level of Amuna, the Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to lift his hand because his hands were an indicator where we were up to. Kiyotzabat, Atayimer, we find a similar concept in the Torah elsewhere. Klal Yisrael complaining to Moshe Rabbeinu, why did you take us out of Mitzrayim in this midbar? So he says, Aseilach Asraf, make a gold, a copper snake, the Simai Soyal Nes, and put it up on a pole. Whoever got bitten will look at it and will live. So the question is, does a snake make one live or die? Ella, if they look up to God, if they recognize God, they were healed. So Mepharshim asked, Aruch Haner asks, why do we need two examples to teach us the same concept? So Mepharshim answer, the first case is a case of a Seh Toiv, that we have to everything we do good, we should think about God. And the second one is Sumei Ra. When we're trying to stay away from Aveira, we should also always do it L'Shem Shemayim. Other Mefarshim explain what's the lesson of this snake. The snake was a copper snake. Can't do anything. The lesson here is that if one is Rachman Otzlan not well, he has to go to the doctor, he has to have a procedure. So he should recognize, just like that snake, everybody recognized that snake didn't bring the refuah. It's the refuah that we have is always, we're in God's hands. If a person will recognize that we're in God's hands, that is the best way to have a refuah. And there's the Nefesh HaChaim, famous Nefesh HaChaim, explains that what is the concept of this Mishnah. The concept of this Mishnah is that for a person, if a person, he says, is in a matzav of tzara, he's in a serious situation, he should connect himself to God. He should think, Ein oid novadoi. And if he connects himself to God, Meshadim eslibam lavim shebishmayim, there are many stories of G'dayli Yisrael that they did this and they had atzlocha. Continues the Mishnah. Now we go back to Rosh Hashanah. Cher shoyt v'katan, a deaf person, a shoyt and a katan, emet sinas rabmi dechavosom, cannot be mighty people to kiyah shayfer. Zeh klal. Kol she'en mechui bedover, as somebody himself is not obligated, ein mighty rabmi dechavosom, he can't be mighty someone else. So it's a very fundamental machlokes rishonim. Who is the cherish that our Mishnah is referring to? Because usually in Shas, when the Mishnah uses the word cherish, it means a deaf mute. Because the Gemara considers a deaf mute as someone who doesn't have das, and is therefore not able to be mighty another person like a shayt of a cotton. And that's the way some Rishonim explain our Mishnah. Other Rishonim, and that's the way it's in Shulchan Aruch, here it's different. Cherish here means even someone who just can't hear. Because if he can't hear, so then how could he be mighty me? If he can't be mighty himself, because he unfortunately can't hear Tekir Shaifa. So there's a famous Kasha from the Sfasemis, the Chazon Ish, asked this Kasha on the Rambam. The Rambam says in the Torah, and he says it in the Tshuva also, that Tekir Shaifa, the mitzvah is not the blowing. The mitzvah is the hearing, the kol Shaifa. So asks the Chazon Ish, what's the difference that this cherish, this person who's deaf, can't hear the kol Shaifa? The mitzvah is not the tekiah. The mitzvah is that I should hear a kol shofar. And if this person blew the shofar and I heard the kol shofar, and he's only deaf, he's not a deaf mute, so he's not considered like a shaita, why isn't it good enough if all I have to do is hear and I heard a kol shofar? So there's a famous answer that you have to hear a tekiah shel mitzvah. Even though the mitzvah is not tekiah, but it has to be a tekiah shel mitzvah. And if this person is blowing and he's not mekayim any mitzvah, because he can't hear, so there's no mitzvah to him. So therefore, it's not considered a tekiah shel mitzvah, so what I heard is not hearing a tekiah shel mitzvah, and if it's not a tekiah shel mitzvah, what I heard, it's not considered I heard a kol shofar. When we speak about Rachman Otzlan, a person who's deaf, the question always comes up regarding people who are Rachman Otzlan, hard of hearing, and hear shofar over with a hearing aid. What is the halacha? Or could such a person be a Baal Tekiah? So there are tshuvas really written already a while ago. Hearing aids are not a new invention. But the latest tshuva I saw on it is from the Micha Shleima, from Shleima Zalman Orbach. And he says, certainly, someone who only could hear through a hearing aid is not considered halachically acceptable Shmeyas Kol Shofar. Because he explains, how does a hearing aid work? It's because the earlier Paiskim, who didn't really understand how hearing aids work, apparently, felt that a hearing aid is similar to a kol havara. It's just like creating an echo. And if you could pay attention that you're only listening to the kol shofar, then you're mekayim the mitzvah. He says what actually happens in a hearing aid is that the sounds are turned into electric impulses, and then those electric impulses again are turned into sounds that you hear. But so it comes out that what you hear the kol shofar, you didn't hear directly the kol shofar. In between, it was changed into electric impulses, and therefore, you would not be mekayim the mitzvah if you hear it through a hearing aid. I saw Paiskim suggest that if one Baruch Hashem, even if he needs a hearing aid but could hear without it, should probably shut his hearing aid or take it out during tekiah shofar or if somebody, I don't know how it could be worked out, over the telephone, you could take it off. You don't have to shut it. Take it out, take it off, and then put it back on. Or if, I don't know how it could work out on the telephone, maybe somebody's blowing in at the throat, so it's after Yontif already, but you cannot be Yotze Kol Shofar over the telephone. Possibly. There, I don't know if it's the same, because I don't know if there's a didn't shmi of that call. But Kol Shofar, we certainly learned that you have to hear the Kol Shofar itself. Says the Mishnah. Says the Gemara. Tana ban hakol chayom ki shofar. Everyone is obligated to hear the shofar. Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, Geirim, Vavodim, Meshuchrarim. Avodim, Meshuchrarim are freed slaves. Because until they're freed, every Kanani has a din like an Isha, like a woman. And a woman are not mechuy v'mitzvah saseishas man groma. Neither is an Eved Kanani. But Tumtum is someone who's, we're not quite sure if he's a male or a female because that area is covered. And Dryganus is someone who has both the features of a male and a female. Misha Chetzi Eved Chetzi Ben Charim is somebody is partially free and partially not free. Tumtum, says the Gemara, someone who has that area covered, he certainly can't be mitzi someone else who's either a male, who's a male, and he can't even be mitzi someone else who is like him. Why? He can't be mitzi a male because maybe he's a female and that person is a male, and an isha who's not mechuyev can't be mitzi a man who is mechuyev, but he can't even be mitzi another tumtum. Why? Because this he may turn out to be an isha. And the person he's being made see may turn out to be a male. And a female can't be might see a male, so therefore tumtum can't be might see anyone. However, an androgynous might see a sminoi, avalay a shein a minoi. So where do we try to explain? An androgynous who has both features, the features of a male and a female, so now, they could be, it could, all androgynous are not the same. We may not be sure what they are, but they all have the same status. So if an androgynous is really a male, so one male is being mighty another male. If an androgynous is really a nekeva, so one nekeva is being mighty another nekeva. And the third option is that an androgynous, the Rishonim explained, may be a barrier of Fnei, and may be its own status. So if its own status, it's being mighty another person who has that status. Says the Braisa further, Misha Chetshev Chetshev Mechayrim, somebody who's 50-50, and a mighty he can't be mighty not someone else who's not like him, somebody who's completely free, and not even somebody who's 50-50. And the Gemara will explain it soon. Omar, Hakel Chayom Tki Shofar, everyone is obligated to hear the Shofar, Kohanim Levim Yisrael. Says the Gemara Peshitta, why did the Braisa have to tell us that? Ihani Loi Mechayvi, if Kohanim Levim Yisrael are not Mechuyiv to hear the Shofar, Ma Mechayvi, who is the left? Answers the Gemara, Kahanim Itzrichalei. The Brayis had to teach us that Kahanim are obligated to hear the Shofar. Sal Kedat Chamina. Hoyo V'Ksiv, Yoyim Truo Yilachem. The Pasuk says, Yoyim Truo Yilachem. Man Delesa El Betkiyah Dechad Yoyimah. The person is only obligated to hear the Shofar once a year. Hu the Mechayiv. He's obligated to hear the Shofar. However, Hani Kahanim, Hoyo V'Isna B'Kiyah Kol Shana. Kahanim aren't limited to one day a year. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, Usakatem bechat soitris ala leisech. They used to blow the shofar when they brought the kabbonis. So since their obligation is not limited to one day a year, therefore I would think loy lechayiv, they should not be obligated to hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, k'mashmon that they are. Ask the Gemara, mi damu, hosim chat soitris v'hoch a shofar. Those are chat soitris and this is a shofar. El istrach. The reason we have to say this for the following reason. Sakadata Chamina. Hoyal Tanan. Shoyal Vil HaYoyvel Rosh Hashanah. Litkiu LeBrachis. That Yoyvel has the same din as Rosh Hashanah. We learned this in the Mishnah Daf Chavov. For Tkiya and Brachis. Regarding what kind of shayf you have to use. What the Nusach HaTfil is. Man the Isa B'Mitzvah SaYoyvel. The one who has the Halacha of Yoyvel. Isa B'Mitzvah Rosh Hashanah. The mitzvahs of Rosh Hashanah apply to him. However, Hani Kohanim Hoyov less than the mitzvah of the Yovel. Since all the halachas of Yovel don't apply to him, the Tanan, as the Mishnah Masechta Erechin teaches us, Kohanim Levim Moichim L'Olam, V'Goyalim L'Olam. And we'll explain this in a moment. Aim of mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah Lo L'Chayv. I would think that they're exempt from Tekiyah Shofar K'mash Malam. There are three halachas, Rashi explains, that are unique to Yisraelim, not to Kohanim. One halach is The halacha is if somebody sells a home in a bayis ir chayma, the halacha is he can redeem it up to a year. If he doesn't redeem it within the year that he sells it, even when Yovel come, he doesn't get that home back. That then doesn't apply by Kahanim. Even if they didn't redeem it in the first year, they'll get it back. Another halacha, if somebody sells a stay achuza, there it's just the opposite. For the first 2 years, a Yisrael is not allowed to redeem it. And then by Yovel it comes back. That then again doesn't apply by Kahanim, Levim, they can redeem it even the first 2 years. A third then, if somebody is Magdish, a stay achuza, he gives it to Hegdish. If the Hegdish doesn't sell it, it goes back to him in Yovel. If the Hegdish sells it, when Yovel comes, it doesn't go back to the original owner, it goes back to Kohanim, of that Mishmer. That then again doesn't apply to Kohanim. If Kohanim are Magdish Estei Achuza, even if Hegdish sells it, it goes back to the original owners by Yovel. So since all the halachas of Yovel that apply to Yisraelim don't apply to Kohanim and Levim, so one would think that the halacha of Rosh Hashanah doesn't apply to him either, the dinim of Tekiah Shofar, that's why the Braisa has to teach us that they do. Says the, so we learned in the Braisa. Misha chetzi evan chetzi ben chayrim, if somebody's half evan, half ben chayrim, ain't a mitzvah lo yasmina v'lo yishena minay. He can't be mitzvah not himself, nor someone like himself, or somebody not like himself. However, makes Rav Huna the statement, lo yatzmin mitzvah. He can't blow shofar on behalf of anyone else, but for himself, he could blow. Amar Rav Nachman Rav Huna. So Rav Nachman tries to understand, why taka can't this person be the Baal Tekei for anyone? Because the lo'asi tzad avdus u'matzat mafik tzad cheres. He's 50% eved. As we explained earlier, an eved is not mechuyim tekiyah shofar. So when he, who's 50% eved, blows the shofar for someone who's completely a regular free person, the eved can't be, eved who's not mechuyim tekiyah shofar cannot be mitzi someone who is mechuyim tekiyah shofar. Says Rav Nachman, so therefore for himself the same. La'atzmai nami loy, osi tzad avdus today. He's 50% avid. His part of eved, when he blows shofar, an eved, or somewhat of an eved is blowing shofar, and he can't be mitzi mafik tzad cheres today. He can't be mitzi himself, and therefore Rav Nachman, af la'atzmai ena mitzi. He can't even blow shofar on his own behalf. Tanya nami hachi, not only can't he blow shofar on someone else's behalf, he can't blow it on his own behalf. So the Mefarshim asks, Avni Nezer asks, Rav Nachman's svara is a strong svara. He's an eved. An eved can't blow shofar. So how could Rav Huna suggest that he could blow for himself? So the Avni Nezer says a beautiful pshat. He says, if he can't blow, if someone cannot do a mitzvah himself, then he can't be mechuyev in a mitzvah. So he says, if the person was saying has such a difficulty that he can't blow even for himself, then he wouldn't be yoytz in the mitzvah when someone else blows. If we're saying that he's mechuyev in the mitzvah, he says a klal and shas, that if somebody's going to be mechuyev in the mitzvah, he has to be able to do it himself. You can't say that someone's mechuyev in the mitzvah and he can't do it himself. So therefore, Rav Huna holds that enochanami, I agree with Rav Nachman, says Rav Huna, that he can't blow the shofar on behalf of anyone else, but at least he could blow it on his own behalf. A tumtum is the problem is we don't know what he is. Would he be able to blow for himself? Sure. A tumtum would be able to blow for himself. The Gemara didn't say a tumtum can't blow for himself. It only says the Gemara... So if he's a female could blow for a female. Female can't blow for a male. La loch we hold like Rav Nachman. The question is, what about all other mitzvahs? Could somebody who's chetzi eved, chetzi mechayrim be mighty someone else in any mitzvah? So the Paiskin want to suggest that this is only regarding Tekiyah Shofar, that this problem exists. Perhaps a mitzvah that's totally in a maisa, that depends on an action, there everybody will agree it could be mitzi. But Kriyas Megillah, which is similar to Tekiyah Shofar, they say would have the same achloikas as Rav Nachman Rav Huna. I'm not going to dwell on it because it's not really relevant. Lalocha, we don't have servants. Tana Ahava Berei de Rav Zeira. Kol HaBrachos Kulan. We begin a very interesting sugya, important sugya. Halachically, kol habrachas kulan api shein yotze mitzi. All brachas, even though I already did the mitzvah, I can be mitzi someone else. Even though I don't have to do the mitzvah, I already did it. Chutz mebrachas alechem brachas ayayin. Brachas hanenim, I could only be mitzi you with the mitzvah if I myself am going to eat. But if not, I'm not mechuyev. I can't make a bracha on your behalf. What's the difference? So the answer the Ran explains is that we have a concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh. We're all responsible for each other. So if you're mechuyev to do a mitzvah, I'm an Arev. An Arev is a guarantor. I have responsibility that you should do that mitzvah. So since I have responsibility, you should do that mitzvah. I can make a bracha for you. But eating, I'm not responsible that you should eat. Don't eat. And therefore, only if I myself am eating and making a birchas hananim can I be mitzi you. Otherwise, not. And the Paiskim discuss that the same goes for tefillah. Tefillah, I can't be mitzi someone else. Why? Because tefillah is a very private issue. It's between me and God. Like we learned earlier, I'm davening to God. So you can't be mitzi me with tefillah. Every one of us have our own tefillah. I heard from my Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Tovi Goldstein, many times, used to say the same would be for tefillah sederach. Tefillah sederach is not a bracha. Tefillah sederach is a tefillah. And therefore he said that everybody has to make their own tefillah sederach when they're traveling. Because like we just said, tefillah, everybody has to say their own tefillah. Chazar Shashat is a special takan of Chazal for people who can't daven themselves. But if you can daven yourself, you can't be yoytz with Chazar Shashat. Chutz v'brichas alechem v'brichas yayin, shem lo yotze. If I have to make a bracha, mitzi, v'm yotze and a mitzi. The Ritva actually makes a very interesting observation. He says like this. Let's say I ate. Once I eat, I have a chiv midaraisa of saying brichas hamazon. So brichas hamazon, he suggests, one should be able to make a bracha for someone else, even though he didn't eat. Because it's already a chiv. It's not just a brichas hananen. So he says, conceptually, that would be the halacha. But Chazal, because Birchas HaMazon is so similar to Birchas HaNenen, Chazal said that Birchas HaMazon also should not be recited by one person on behalf of another person unless he ate at least the Kazayis himself. By Rava. So Rava asked the following question. Birchas HaLakam Shal Matzah or Birchas HaYayin Shal Kiddush HaYoyim. So the way the Rishonim explained the question is as follows. When we eat matzah by the Seder, we make two brachas. We make an achilas matzah, and we make hamaitzi. Achilas matzah is certainly a brichas hamitzvahs. Hamaitzi is a brichas hananen. When we make kiddush Friday night, so we make mekadosh Shabbos, which is certainly a brichas hamitzvahs, but we also make a bari priya gofen. So the question is, what is this halacha if somebody needs the hamaitzi or the gofen? Kiven the chayvahu, since it's part of a brichas hamitzvahs, mapik, one person can be mighty the other person. This is a regular brichas hananen. And brichas hananen, one person can be mighty the other person. Toshma, domer of Ashi, kavina bei rapapi, when we bury papi's home, have mekadishlon. He used to make kiddush on behalf of his whole family. Vikava osa recently when his workers, his sharecroppers, came midabra from the field, have mekadosh lehu. And he made a bari priya goffin. Even though he had already made a bari priya goffin when he made kiddush. So we see that the bari priya goffin of Friday night, that's part of the kiddush, is considered brichas hamitzvos. What about the bari priya goffin or the hamaitzi of Shabbos by day, where it's not part of a nusach? It's just the bari priya goffin itself or hamaitzi itself. So regarding hamaitzi, all the Paiskim suggest that if you're not eating yourself Shabbos by day, you can't make a hamaitzi for other people. Why? So the Paiskim say a number of reasons. First of all, the chiv of eating by day bread is not such an absolute chiv. Because if, let's say, the halacha is, let's say somebody enjoys the fast, he doesn't have to eat bread. Another reason is, when you make a bracha on the bread, it's not obvious that you're doing the l'shem mitzvah. Because you always eat. So something that's not obvious that you're doing l'shem mitzvah is certainly a regular birchas hananen. Others want to suggest that the whole birchas hamaitzi by day doesn't have anything to do with Shabbos. It has to do with eating. And therefore, since it has nothing to do with Shabbos, it's a regular birchas hananen, and you can't be mitzi someone else. Regarding the bari priya gafen, that means, let's say, Shabbos by day, I'm going to make Kiddush, and I'm not going to drink. But I'm going to make Kiddush on behalf of other people. So, is that considered a Birchas HaMitzvahs, or is it considered Birchas Hananen? It's a Machloikis Rishonim, Machloikis Mordechai and Rabbeinu Yeruchim. The Mordechai holds it's a Birchas HaMitzvahs, because usually you don't make a Kiddush and a cup of wine before you eat a meal, and therefore it's considered Birchas HaMitzvahs. Rabbeinu Yeruchim says since it stands by itself, it has the din of a Birchas Hananen. So the best thing is that somebody should drink himself if he's going to make a Bar Priya Geffen. That's why, let's say somebody made Kiddush in Shul, and he comes home and makes Kiddush again, for his family, he should drink from that cup of wine. Halacha, if he doesn't drink Malei Lugmav, but most places can hold it amongst everybody sitting around the table, a Malei Lugmav is drunk, that's enough. The places can discuss, what about the Bar Priya Hadoma that we make by the Seder on the Karpas? It's just a Birchas Hananen. All we make is a Bar Priya Hadoma. And let's say somebody can't eat the Karpas, but can make a Bar Priya Hadoma for the rest of the family. Is it considered a Birchas HaMitzvahs or Birchas Hananen? So the Pais can say, since that's not an option, it's part of the Seder, you have to eat the Karpas, therefore, even if you're not eating the Karpas, you can make the Bar Priya Hadoma on behalf of all the participants in the Seder. There's another Shiloh that's discussed by the Paiskim, that if we're learning now that Kiddush Friday night, unlike Kiddush by day, Kiddush Friday night is certainly Birchas HaMitzvahs. So let's say, Rav Shlomo Zalman discusses the Shaila in the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chosai. Let's say someone, it happens when people have relatives in the hospital. Let's say someone has a relative in the hospital, and he's in the hospital Friday afternoon, and the relative is going to be Mekabel Shabbos, and he's going to make Kiddush on behalf of that relative, and then he's going to drive home. Is that acceptable? That person's mechuyev in Kiddush, because for him it's Shabbos already. Could I make Kiddush for someone and then afterwards drive? So Shlomo Zalman is very reluctant to accept it. He says that a person should not do that. If you're going to make Kiddush, and even if though you're not making the Kiddush for yourself, you're making Kiddush for someone else, it's not something that l'chatchila should be done. Tana Rabbanan. La yifris adam prusal archim. A person should not be the person making the Birchas HaMaitzi for guest, and can Eichel Iman. Like we learned, because it's a Birchas HaNenen, Birchas HaNenen, you can't be Maitzi unless you're eating along. Al Parasu Lebanav Lebnei Beisai, he can make the HaMaitzi for his family, Kedei Lechanchem HaMitzvahs, in order that they should learn how to make bracha. So even though I'm not eating, but I want to teach my children how to make a bracha, so I can make the HaMaitzi on their behalf. There's a machlokes, we're showing him how to understand this Gemara. Some say even though it involves a doraisa of shloisis Hashem Meshav, that you're saying Hashem's name when you don't need to say it, still for chinuch it's mutter. Others say that it's not an issa doraisa, it's only issa drabonin, and therefore for chinuch purposes we can be makel. What's this relevant to? It's relevant for a Rebbe. When we speak about chinuch, the Gemara speaks about B'nai Beisa, his family. So somebody can make hamaitzi, even though he's not eating, to teach his children. What about if somebody who's a Rebbe of a class, they're not his children, but could he still make a hamaitzi and use Hashem's name, even though he's not eating? So the Paiske want to suggest it depends. If it's an Issa D'Raisa, perhaps the Gemara was only makel for your own family, not for anyone else. But if it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan, so any chinuch has such a value, and you're allowed to do it. B'hala Megillah, at b'shiyotza maitzi. B'hala Megillah, even though you already mekayim the mitzvah, you could still make the bracha for others. So there's a very fundamental machloikis how to understand this Gemara. What's the Gemara singling out Halal and Megillah? Ramosha has a very interesting way of explaining the Gemara. Ramosha says like this. We know that there's a question when we speak about, in our Gemara, how do we begin this sugya? That how come I can make a bracha on your behalf? Because Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh. But there's a big question, if there's arvis for men to women. That's not so simple. Says Ramosha, what's our Gemara teaching us? When it comes to Halal and Megillah, which the whole purpose is presume nisa, even though I already said Halal, and even though I already read the Megillah, I could say the bracha on Halal, even though the only people I'm being mitzi are women, where there may not be any arvis. Why? Because of presume nisa. That's Ramosha's approach. The Shagas Aryeh has a very different approach, which is very relevant l'aloch l'maisa. The Shagas Aryeh says, what the Gemara is coming to teach us here is there's a difference between a derabbanan and the raisa. When is the halacha, says the Shagasaya Agamar is teaching us, that I can make a bracha on your behalf, even though I already did the mitzvah? That's by mitzvah derabbanan. The gil is only derabbanan. The chiv to say hal is only derabbanan. But if there's a chiv deraisa, that means you have a chiv deraisa to do a mitzvah, and I already did that mitzvah, therefore I have no right to make the bracha on your behalf. Where does this come up? This comes up by Tekiah Shofar. Let's say I'm the Baal Tekiah in a number of shuls. So everybody, at least certainly all the men, have a chiv deraisa of Tekiah Shofar. So let's say in the first shul I make the bracha, and I have kavana to be mekayim the mitzvah. And now, I've made the bracha. So I don't have any more chiv deraisa of Tekiah Shofar. The members of the next shul that I'm going to have a chiv deraisa. So I can't make, according to the Shagas Aryeh, I can't make a bracha. Because they have a chiv deraisa and I don't. That's why the Shagas Aryeh and the Hartzvi suggest that if a person knows that he's going to be blowing shofar in a number of shuls, he should only have in mind to be yoitz the mitzvah deraisa in the last shul. So he's still... So that's the famous Rekiv Eger. So Rekiv Eger says that the kids by night, that's Rekiv Eger, the women Friday night, that's the famous Rekiv Eger. No, the Behuda, we spoke about it many times. One second. I'll explain what you mean. So basically, he says to Shagasari, don't have kavan to be yoitz the mitzvah until the last shul, because otherwise you already have been mekayim the mitzvah deraisa, and somebody who's mekayim the mitzvah deraisa cannot be moitzi someone who still has a chiv deraisa. No, there's no chiv deraisa there. This Kriyas HaTorah is not a chiv deraisa. The bracha is certainly not. Regarding your shaila is on Friday night shaila. That if I daven in shul Friday night, so I already made kiddush. Well, let's say I made kiddush, and now I want to make kiddush on behalf of someone else. They have a chiv deraisa, and I don't have a chiv deraisa. According to this, how could I be moitzi them? So the Behuda Rekiv Eger say, what should they do? The person should say good Shabbos. So that a person saying good Shabbos, they were mekayim the chiv deraisa, and therefore I can be moitzi them. Hanu lachru bezdan, hanu lachru bezdan, hanu lachru bezdan. Says the Mishnah. We begin the last parak of the Masechta. Yontav shel Rosh Hashanah shechalis b'Shabbos. If Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos, so Mepharshim want to know what's this language of Yontif Shal Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah. So Mepharshim is saying that here we're learning that when Yontif comes out on Shabbos, when Shana comes out on Shabbos, we don't, under all circumstances, blow the shofar, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem. So say the Mepharshim that the Gemara is teaching us Yontif, whether it's even if it's the first day Yontif, we would think maybe the second day Rosh Hashanah, which we know that the chiv is not a chiv deraisa, so that doesn't override Shabbos. But the first day, Rosh Hashanah, which is a chiv deraisa, perhaps that should override Shabbos, teaches us the Mishnah, Yontav Rosh Hashanah, Shechal Lias B'Shabbos, only B'Migdash HaYetoiken, they only blew in the Migdash Avaloi B'Medina. There's a fundamental machloikis, Rashi in the Rambam, what does Migdash mean? Rashi means, says Migdash means the base of Migdash proper. The Rambam means, says Migdash means the entire Yerushalayim. Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, after Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Sheyetoiken Mekom Mokom, that you can blow the shofar everywhere, Sheyesh by Beis Din. Omer, Rabbi Elazar, says Rabbi Elazar, Lehiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Ela B'Yavna Bilvad. It's not everywhere, only by Yavna, where the Sanhedrin Gedoyla was exiled. Everywhere else not. Omer Lai, so they told him, Echa Yavna, Echa Kom Mokom, Sheyesh by Beis Din. Anywhere there's a Beis Din, you could blow shofar on Shabbos, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Void zois hoshi Yerushalayim Yisrael al Yavna. Yerushalayim had this other advantage over Yavna. Shekol ir sheyiroi v'shamas v'kroiva. Any city that could hear is close. V'yochel lovoi kikom toikin. V'yavna lo yitoikin el Beis Din b'van. So there's a very difficult how to understand this last line. According to the Rambam, it's very geschmack. Because the Rambam taught us that at the beginning of the Mishnah says that Yerushalayim, when we learn Migdash, it means all of Yerushalayim. So the end of the Mishnah says that what does Yerushalayim mean? It doesn't mean only Yerushalayim proper. It means all the areas around Yerushalayim. But according to Rashi, Migdash means the base of Migdash. So how does it all of a sudden become that anyone could see Yerushalayim? Even in Yerushalayim itself, you can't blow. It's only in the Beis HaMikdash. So the way Tosfos and most Mefarshim explain Rashi is as follows. Originally, the Sanhedrin sat in the Lishkas HaGozes, which is in the Beis HaMikdash. When the Sanhedrin sat in the Lishkas HaGozes, Rashi says, the beginning of the Mishnah teaches us, the Shofar could only be blown in the Beis HaMikdash itself. However, what happened was, the Sanhedrin was exiled from the Beis HaMikdash to Yerushalayim. The end of the Mishnah is referring to that time. When the Sanhedrin was in Yerushalayim, then the halacha was that you could blow in all of Yerushalayim. And not only teaches us the Mishnah, could you then blow in all of Yerushalayim, you could also blow in anywhere that's close to Yerushalayim. Another pshat that I saw, there are a lot of pshatim how to understand this Mishnah, according to Rashi. Another pshat I saw is, it depends, as long as there was a wall around Yerushalayim, then all of Yerushalayim had a status like the Beis HaMikdash. We spoke about a Tosfos earlier, that at a certain point the wall of Yerushalayim was breached. At that point, that's what the beginning of the Mishnah refers to, you could only blow in the Beis HaMikdash. Another pshat that I saw is that in the Beis HaMikdash, you could blow all day. We're going to discuss this more tomorrow, in the next year. In the Beis HaMikdash, you could blow all day. In Yerushalayim, you could only blow in the time when Sanhedrin was in session. So the Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah, is teaching us that in all of Yerushalayim, you could blow while Sanhedrin is in session. And we're in Yerushalayim, and not only says the Mishnah, could you blow in Yerushalayim, but you could blow all around Yerushalayim too. Marani Mili, how do we know that on Shabbos we don't blow the Shofar? Amar Rav Levi Bachlachm, Amar Rav Chama Bachanina, Kosev Echad Oima, Shabbos and Zichron Truah. Shabbos is only a zikrin, a remembrance. Because of Echad Omer, Yoim Teruah Yir Lachem. So it's only that you actually blow. So how do we reconcile these two psukim? Like Kasha. Kan Shiyantu Shechali is Peshabbos, then we actually don't blow the Shofar, we only have a zikrin Teruah. Kan Biyantu Shechali is Bechoil, during the week, we blow the Shofar. Omer Rava, if you're suggesting that the Torah itself is teaching us that when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos, we don't blow the Shofar, so the question is, B'migdash Eichet Akinan, how could the Mishnah teach us that on Shabbos we blow the Shofar? We're not supposed to blow anywhere. The Torah says it's only a Zikrin. V'oi, furthermore, Halab Malachihi, Ditzich Kralamute. Why should it be, this way Tosfos explains the Gemara's question, why should it be us to blow the Shofar on Shabbos? The Tanya, the Beis Shmuel, Kol Malachas Avoida Loisasu. You're not allowed to do any melacha on Shabbos. Yotzat Kiyas Shofar for Diyas Apas. Blowing the Shofar and taking off the bread, the dough from the oven. Shichach Meveir Melacha. So why should it be Osir on Shabbos Midaraisa? That the Pasuk will tell us that if it's Shabbos, don't do it. Ela Merova. Midaraisa Mishrashari. Midaraisa you're allowed to blow the Shofar on Shabbos. It's Rabbanan who the Gozer Bey. It's Rabbanan that say you should not blow the Shofar on Shabbos. Kedamarava. Damarava. Hakol Chayom B'Tkiyah Shofar. Everybody's obligated to blow the Shofar. Ve'na Kol B'Kiyah B'Tkiyah Shofar. But not everybody knows how to blow. And we're concerned, Gzeir Shama Yitlena B'Yodai. Maybe you'll carry the Shofar. V'yelech Eitz Abaki Lilmoid. You'll go to an expert to teach you how to blow the Shofar. V'yelech and the Dalam Shusarabim. You'll end up carrying Dalam Shusarabim. Vahanatam the lulav, and that's why we don't take a lulav on Shabbos. Vahanatam the Megillah, and that's why we don't blow them. That's why we don't say read the Megillah on Shabbos. We're concerned you're going to carry. So Mefarshim explain why Tosfos explains why we only worried that you're going to carry Dalet Amos. Why we're not worried you're going to carry from Shusha Yochet to Shusha Rabim. So Tosfos says from Shusha Yochet to Shusha Rabim, we're not that concerned because a person is going to come to his door and he's going to realize I'm not supposed to carry out. But in the Rishus Rabbim, we're worried that you may come to forget and carry. Others say that, an interesting din, we know that the Paiskim that say that Rishus Rabbim is only where 600,000 people pass every day. But some Paiskim say that's only regarding Rishus Rabbim from carrying to Rishus Yochet to Rishus Rabbim. But carrying in the Rishus Rabbim itself, there, it makes no difference if there's 600,000 people or not. So since it's much easier to be over the Avera of carrying Dalet Amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim itself. That's why the Gemara chose that reason. Mefarshim asks, if we're concerned about this concern, why are we allowed to make a meal on Shabbos? Why should we be that concerned that he's going to carry? So I saw a number of terutzim. One terutz is Shofar, everybody has to blow. So since everybody has to blow, we're concerned people are going to forget that it's Shabbos. Mila is only one person has to make the Mila. No one else is busy with the Mila. So we see somebody carrying, we'll tell him it's Shabbos. Another pshat that I saw is, the Torah specifically tells us that you're allowed to make a meal on Shabbos. Something that the Torah specifically tells us that you're allowed to do, the Chazal can't tell us you're not allowed to do. Shofar, the Torah doesn't specifically say you're allowed to blow Shofar on Shabbos. The Torah says you should blow every on Rosh Hashanah. Since the Torah doesn't say specifically you're allowed to blow, that's why the Chazal can make Gzeira. Another pshat is a mila, usually the number of people involved in a bris mila. So one will remind the other. Shofar, everybody has his own independent, personal obligation. The Farshim say, the Gemara calls Tekiya Shofar a chachma. What pshat that's a chachma? Reishis chachma yiras Hashem. If somebody, to blow the Shofar is nothing without Reishis chachma yiras Hashem, that you come to Tekiya Shofar with Yerushmayim, realizing that we're blowing to Hashem.
Even though there's no Arabic by women,
they don't have Kali Shalom, even though it's not men, women.
No.